The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. It's just turned 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 5th of September 2023. You're very welcome along to another edition of the 9 till noon show. Thanks so much to Donald Kavanagh for sitting in for me yesterday, but it's great to be back. And we are open for business. The WhatsApp text line open for you right now, 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. If you're outside the Republic, 00353 86 60 25000. And for your telephone calls, 074 91 25000. And you can email us as well, comments@highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the show, you can do so on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, your phone, laptop, tablet, on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, and we're across the Facebook pages here as well. So no excuses not to be involved. You can send messages to us there as well. All right, let's have a look at what's making the front and inside some of today's newspapers. We'll start with the Donegal Democrat. Glenn Colum Kilman has appeared in court charged with 21 burglaries across Donegal. Timmy O'Gara was brought before Letterkenny District Court on Thursday morning in connection with the burglaries, which occurred over a three-month period between May and July of this year. O'Gara, a 20-year-old from Drimro, Glenn Colum Kil, did not speak during the brief hearing before Judge Kieran Liddy. O'Gara was arrested on August 4th and subsequently charged following a planned operation by officers in the Ballyshannon Garda District. On to the Nationals now, and you heard this mentioned on the news with Donal. The use of speed detection cameras operating on Irish roads is to rise by 20% following agreement between Minister for Justice Helen McEntee and Garda Commissioner Drew Harris to increase funding for the Go Safe service by €1.2 million. Do you believe that this is an effective plan to deal with these the issues that we have on our roads? Do you believe the Go Safe vans are the solution to this? The government clearly do, as does Garda Commissioner Drew Harris, as they're investing quite heavily in it. The announcement came as Gardaí conducted a national slowdown day yesterday to reinforce the message that speed kills. The first 10 hours of the initiative saw Go Safe cameras check the speed of 103,000 vehicles, detecting 250 which were travelling in excess of the applicable speed limit. So it is a tiny proportion of people that are being detected by GoSafe vans. As I say, they clocked almost 104,000 vehicles, and of those, 250 were travelling in excess of the speed. In terms of percentages, what is that? Does that mean that all the other drivers are really safe drivers and only 250 are not? Or is it the fact that the 250 didn't know the speed van was there? Do you get where I'm coming from? Like, we have to do something. I just wonder if this looks good, but would it be effective? Examples of high speed include a motorist doing 161 in a 100 zone in County Louth. Another person was detected doing 155 in a 120 kilometre zone. That was in County Westmeath. There were a few detections here in Donegal as well. Now, another story referenced in the news but jumped out at me from the Irish Independent. The shocking levels of cyberbullying contact from strangers and exposure to sexual or violent content that Ireland's 8 to 16-year-olds face online is detailed in a new report. So these are children aged from 8 to 16. 1 in 4, 25% of children aged 8 to 12 experienced online bullying in the past year. And it was even worse for 12 to 16-year-olds, with 2 in 5, 40% victimised. Like, these are some of the great challenges that are facing our young people. And I do know there's an awful lot of focus on protecting children and what might be harmful to them. And it's an ongoing debate across the country, seemingly. But the real big threat, I think, is right here, right in their hand. Girls suffered most. 43% of 8 to 16-year-olds reported that they were targets, compared to 30% of boys. Again, to remind you, 8 to 16-year-olds. Posting pictures without permission, creation of fake profiles, and being excluded from chat groups were among the most commonly reported forms of cyberbullying. Other risks highlighted in the report include the extent to which 8 to 12-year-olds are vulnerable to contact from people they do not know, and potential grooming. These are 8 to 12-year-olds. As many as 42% of young boys and 27% of girls have gamed with a stranger online, according to the annual trends and usage report from the online safety charity Cyber Safe Kids. So that is huge numbers of young people potentially being exposed to very unpleasant situations on the internet. Much coverage across all the papers today of a huge turnout for the Wolf Tones. Veteran folk act The Wolf Tones have astonished music lovers by attracting one of the largest crowds in the 14-year history of Electric Picnic's Electric Arena. More than 20,000 festival goers attended the arena tent on Sunday to hear their well-known rebel songs as the festival drew to a close in Stradbally, County Laois. Crowds of all ages began arriving to see them almost an hour before the band, who formed in 1963, took to the stage. Hundreds could not gain access to the tent, so sang along from outside. Prior to belting out Celtic Symphony, which it's with its controversial ooh-ah up the rah refrain, frontman Brian Warfield said to the crowd, "Never tell an Irish person they can't sing a song, because you know that they'll do it. They'll go out and they'll sing it over and over again just to spite you." The Irish women's soccer team, of course, had to apologise for singing the song after they qualified for the World Cup last year. On Twitter, formerly known as, or currently known as X, the band said, "Electric Picnic Festival, thank you for having us tonight. Thank you to the massive crowds who thronged the Electric Arena tent. We are truly humbled. Our sincerest thanks." But of course, you know, young people are going to go and have a bit of fun and sing. I don't think they're... When they sing those refrains, I don't think they're making a statement as such. They're just having fun. But people look on and go, now I'm not saying it's right or wrong, it's not for me to do so, but, you know, then people go, oh, you can't do that, and they look on and they give out, but they don't really understand. I don't think they really understand. Right, let's go now to the Irish Daily Star, and the pressure has finally made Simon Byrne buckle. He's resigned as the chief constable of the PSNI following a string of controversies stating that it's time for someone new to lead policing in the north. The news that the embattled police chief has left with immediate effect was announced at a press conference yesterday by policing board chair Deirdre Toner, who said Mr. Byrne had tendered his resignation with immediate effect. News of the resignation has been welcomed by DUP leader Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, who said it was the first step in rebuilding confidence in the force. SDLP leader Colm Eastwood said confidence in Mr. Byrne had been irreparably shattered. Mr. Byrne faced a number of recent challenges, including the fallout from a PSNI data breach in which details of all officers were released online. It's complicated, though, to replace him, because I think that has to be okayed or signed off by the executive, but we know there is no executive functioning in Northern Ireland, so presumably I have to come up with some other plan to sign someone up to replace him. Luke Ming-Flanagan, his ex-assistant, has gone on trial accused of hacking the MEP's Twitter account. This is in The Sun. A few people commented about this at the time, and they could find themselves in trouble too. Dermot Hayes allegedly posted an offensive tweet about former Green Party candidate Saoirse McHugh. The post, which appeared in the early hours of September 28th, 2020, read, "Saoirse McHugh photo skinny dipping." And however it was phrased, I think it was designed to give the impression that Luke Ming-Flanagan, who hadn't, by the way, that Luke Ming-Flanagan was searching online and accidentally put it into Twitter. Well, it led some people to believe that the person operating the account was searching for photos, as I mentioned, of the ex-Green politician. The post was quickly deleted, and the independent Midlands Northwest MEP immediately claimed he was hacked. He contacted police in Belgium, who launched an investigation, and his ex-assistant Hayes, who had worked with Ming between 2018 and 2019, yesterday appeared in court accused of posting the damaging tweet. But as I say, you know, everything you say online potentially has consequences, and a lot of people jumped on that, and they could be getting little letters through the post themselves too. Finally, Irish people are generally happy with their own bodies and are in the top 10 of nationalities content with their own physiques, a global study has revealed, and this is in the Irish Mirror. A survey of 57,000 studied in 65 nations saw the Irish come 8th behind Egypt but before Poland. The Maltese were happiest with how their bodies looked, with Taiwan in second place and Bangladesh in third. At the other end of the scale, the US, France and Brazil were all at the bottom of the 10, with the UK second from last. The research from Anglia Ruskin University in England found that a positive body image is strongly associated with better psychology, well-being and life satisfaction. So we as a nation are happy with our physiques, according to that study, much happier than some other nations anyway. Okie doke, that was a run through what is making the papers this morning. If you want to comment on any of that, please feel free to do so. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text. We got contact last week and it read as follows. Could you address why a day hospital in Carndonagh no longer exists? There was a day centre in Carndonagh Community Hospital pre-COVID, but it never reopened after COVID. People of age and disability attended 5 days a week. A dinner was provided, paid for by the clients, a nurse, and access to a doctor was also available. The clients also played bingo and had a sing-song, so giving entertainment to all who attended. Since COVID, everyone was left to their own devices. Loneliness and a lack of everyday medical observation is leaving these citizens isolated and alone. Can you please address with the appropriate people? So, following on from that, there was already a meeting scheduled. The hospital group met on September the 1st, I believe, and we're joined by a couple of guests to discuss this. We'll say good morning to Tony Doherty, Chair of the Restoration of the Carndonagh Day Care Services, and Councillor Albert Doherty as well. Both of you, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Greg.
I'll start with you, Tony, if that's okay. I mean, as far as the contact we've had there from that listener, that's about right, isn't it? That's where we were and this is where we're at.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good summary of where we're at. I mean, COVID was obviously a very difficult period for everybody. The Carndonagh daycare services closed because of COVID in March 2020, and rightly so. But then as things moved on in the summer of 2021, the services were being opened across the country. In fact, Mary Butler, who's the Minister for Older People, tweeted in May 2021 that services would start to be opened in the summer of 2021. And she also said that any services that needed any remediation would be in place by the end of 2021. And the situation is that we, the people of, I would say, all of Inishowen, and I think Donegal as well, but particularly North Inishowen, have been left without a service from that time. And, you know, you've introduced the whole subject very well there in relation to COVID and loneliness. And, you know, it's you know, we're talking about our most senior people in society. These are the people that filled the potholes. These are the people that educated us. These are the people that made us who we are. And this daycare service is like a last dance for these people. And, you know, we owe it to them. And it's an absolute shame at this stage that 2 years on, over 2 years on from the reopening of daycare services across the island, that we still don't have daycare services in North Inishowen. And what we're doing is we're saying enough's enough, because I've been in contact with the HSE, with the minister for the last 2 years, and what we're saying is enough, and what we're calling upon is to have a meeting, and we're calling on people from all across Inishowen to come to the Colgan Hall on Friday, October the 6th at 7:30 p.m. and to show their support for this issue, because we're really getting over with the authorities on this.
And the impact it's had on people is impossible to quantify, because it's specific to each person. But obviously, in terms of proper care and activity and a quality of life, that the individuals that would have been able to in the past access these services. But then other than that, it's the impact it has on their family and the people around them, and, you know, missed opportunities, feeling like time has been taken away. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to quantify the real impact this is having on people.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, when you get to that age, right, time is of the essence, you know. It's not as if that we'd get these services up and running next year or in 2 years' time and everything will be okay. It has to be now. These older people don't have that time. I mean, I'll share with you my own personal experience with it, where my father, Henry, prior to COVID, used to avail of the services 3 days per week. And I should say, the people who run the service, the nurses and the rest of the staff are absolutely fantastic people. It's a real vocation, and these people have been fantastic. But in my father's situation, 3 days per week, he attended the service in Carindona prior to COVID. And after COVID, he was receiving no care, as I've kind of outlined there, right? So what I had to do was to get in contact with Sage Advocacy, who are a national organisation, and they were able to secure 1 day for my father in the North Pole Centre between Carindona and Buncrana. In actual fact, my father would have needed 5 days care at that stage. So there's an actual story for you, if you like, as to, you know, the level of service. And it was only because I was banging a drum and got that national organisation involved that my dad, in effect, got 20% of what he would have needed at that time. And there are many people I know that were getting zero help and care. Mm-hmm.
I know also, too, that since your father has passed away, my condolences to you, Tony. What do you think, if he'd received the 5 day care service, what difference might it have made to him or the family?
Well, I mean, you can imagine, you know, an old man sitting at home for 16 hours, you know, 16 hours a day looking at a television screen, you know, it breaks my heart that was the case, right? Because, as you know, with family, life goes on and we all have work to do and we have other responsibilities. But, you know, it was great that Dad had that 1 day in the North Pole Centre. But the reality is, you know, Dad fell into sort of ill health, very ill health, you know, in February of this year. And the decision was made by me that Dad went into full-time care in April. Now, if daycare services had been available for Dad 5 days per week, he may not have gone into that full-term, you know, into a nursing home. Obviously, it wasn't just daycare services because you've got to look at, you know, his safety and stuff like that. But it was a big contributing factor into Dad going into full-term residential care at the start of April, which, by the way, he absolutely hated it. And that's the reality of what happened there. But we're kind of here, I think, this morning talking about the people who don't have a voice,
yeah.
The people who are old people who are nestled in the side of hills across Inishowen and across Donegal. And as we know, we have a big immigration thing in Donegal. And these people don't have maybe family members who can advocate for them. But even if they are advocating for them, as I've just outlined, they're still only getting, you know, 20% in my situation of the care that is needed. And I think in many cases, people are just getting no care at all. And, you know, this is a time whenever we have the money in this country. We're able to find the money for other things which are important. But for our old people, our most important group of people in our society, I mean, a measure of who we are as people and who we are as a society is how we treat our old people. And I think we're falling way, way short in that. And that's why we're kind of saying enough's enough. I mean, I don't want to be on the radio this morning talking about this, right? But I feel it's necessary that we have to say enough's enough. Like, the time for talking is over.
Councillor Albert Doherty is with us too, has been listening to Tony. Councillor Doherty, in front of and behind the scenes, an awful lot of effort has been put into see these day services restored. I don't think this is a political issue. I can't imagine there's anyone listening to this right now of any political party, if none, that would not like to see these services restored. But what's happening here? Why have you been able to determine why are we not seeing at least some level of restoration of these services?
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Greg, Tony has articulated a very personal story, and when he talked about the lifting of the COVID restrictions, many families had contacted me and said, you know, Mum, Dad, they would love again to have the access to the daycare centre in Carindona. And from 2021, I, as a member of the Regional Health Forum, have brought this to the attention of all members, and you're correct. I've had full cross-party support from the 5 Donegal members and from the Regional Health Forum members at these meetings. But we need community care, and we need the HSE to step up to the plate in this. They know the message that's coming from Northern Ashone. They say that now, in response to my number of motions and questions, that HSE Estates and the Infection Prevention Control Team are undertaking a review of the premises to determine its suitability as a potential daycare centre in the future. Well, I can tell them it has served the community well, as been highlighted by Tony there.
Do you believe that's a stalling tactic?
I do believe it's a stalling, and the item that when potential funding becomes available, the funding is surplus to requirement in many, many aspects as they bring in their tax net, etc., etc. And we want the dignity of our older people to be recognised. But I want to say one other item as well. I've had a lengthy conversation with some of the GPs in the area, and the GPs have told me that the lack of availability of access in this facility is also taking its toll. And when we look at the integrated care pathway for older people and all the aspirations that HSE has, the fact that our people are being isolated, that they're alone, we aren't stepping up to the plate. I brought this up through motion and question, and I'd be bringing it up again until there's a resolution that sees the facility available for and at Carndonagh.
If there was a will, do you believe there is a way, or do you think there's a recruitment issue here, a staffing issue, really, that's the core of this problem?
If there's a will, I believe there is a way. And at the last meeting in July, I got a lengthy, lengthy report back in relation to why HSC Infection Control Team advised that it was unsuitable in the COVID-19 time. The bullet points that they give, I believe all can be responded to if the will is there to deliver. And with the community, with the committee, and with the GP staff, I will be hoping that we all can ensure that that day comes sooner rather than later.
But it has to, Tony, as you pointed out, this is something that is needed right now. There's hundreds of families, or dozens of them at least, across the peninsula that are you know, maybe even seeing their loved ones deteriorate. As you rightly pointed out, you know, we're all standing on their shoulders effectively, and we are really judged as to how we treat the most vulnerable or elderly people. This is something that needs immediate action.
Well, particularly as we sort of said there, right, you know, these are old people, all right, and, you know, time is of the essence getting this sorted out. You know, there's been nothing but smoke and mirrors that I have got from Mary Butler's office, from the HSE, from the OPW. I kind of want to resist the urge to give you examples of it here, right, because I don't want to go down that track, right, because, you know, I want to try and keep this up a level, all right, and I want people to come to the Colgan Hall from all across Inishowen, because it's a knock-on effect. If you're living in Burnfoot or living in Fawn, this affects you as well, because people are, because the amount of services has a knock-on effect. It's a domino effect across the whole of the whole of Inishowen. And by the way, there's a shortage in Buncrana as well. It's not, this is not just a Carndonagh. This is Moville, this is Malinhead, Kildaff, Kilmany, Muff, all the way right across Inishowen. I mean, there's 22 or 23 different daycare centres in the whole of Donegal, right? Carndonagh is the fifth biggest by population, and there's nothing here, right? And there's nothing north of Carndonagh. There's nothing in Malin or anywhere else, right? So it needs to be reinstated, and it needs to be reinstated now. And we, as a community, are not putting up with it any longer. Someone said to me at the meeting that we, as a community, have been asleep on this issue. And what I'm kind of saying to the listeners out there today is, you know, yes, we probably have been asleep, right? But let's waken up, and let's get to the Colgan Hall, and let's show the HSE that we are not taking this anymore, and show the government that we're not taking this anymore. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. As I said at the start, a measure of any society is how we treat our old people. We all have old people, and we all know that people are living longer, thankfully. So we only need more of the service, not less of the service.
Okay, and of course, too, I'm sure the likes of Letterkenny University Hospital would be very keen to see these services up and running, as well as the local GPs, as you mentioned. So there's a public meeting on Friday evening in the Colgan Hall, you say, Tony. Everybody invited?
That's right, Greg, on October the 6th. At 7:30 p.m.
It's a month out from now. Okay, so there's plenty of notice. My apologies. Okay. Yeah. So October 6th, the Colgan Hall at 7:30 p.m. Okay, sure. You'll remind us closer to the time, won't you?
We will, Greg. And thanks very much for taking up this very important issue. And I'd just like to say, I'd like to thank Albert as well. Albert's been fantastic in keeping this issue alive. Through his work.
Yep. Okay. Thank you very much indeed, Tony. And Albert, thank you very much indeed for your time as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, Greg. What I would just like to say there is that the response and answer received on July from the HSE, Greg, read that the Infection Prevention Control Team have been requested to review the current location for potentially developing an area to meet the Infection Prevention Control recommendations, and that this will be dependent on available funding. There must not be a price put on what we hope to deliver in our community for the elderly, and the location has medical assistance nearby, as it being a community hospital. So I too want to be associated with what Tony said. Thank you for raising the matter today, and we will keep you briefed.
Please.
Because we are just at the end of beginning in this campaign.
Yeah, it's vital you do. Okay, thank you very much indeed, Councillor Albert Doherty there. People texting in support. This service must be resumed immediately, causing many negative issues for the elderly of our area. Daycare services at St. Joseph's Stranoller closed this last few years. They don't have a hope of it opening again. All right, 086 60 25,000, keep your calls and comments coming in on that. Just before we take a break, I want to mention Donegal Down Syndrome Association. We talked about this on the programme previously, but it's just to give you a reminder that the Donegal Down Syndrome Association, with support from Down Syndrome Ireland, are exploring possibilities for providing employment opportunities for adults with Down Syndrome. They're holding an information session in the Station House, Letterkenny, this coming Thursday from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Employment specialists from Down Syndrome Ireland will be in attendance. We'd greatly appreciate if you or a member of your team could attend if you're unable to attend on the day, but are interested in learning more. We can arrange a follow-up discussion with you. And we did have a really quite detailed conversation on this issue last week. So for further information, you can contact the Donegal Down Syndrome office, High Road, Letterkenny, 074 910 3527. So that's that event in the Station House Hotel, Letterkenny, on Thursday from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Okay, you're very welcome back. A caller says, Tony, you are totally right. I think it's diabolical the way our older people have been treated since COVID. We can find money for other things, but not for our health system. The health system is in crisis. The government's failure is evident in all our health system. Our politicians are turning a blind eye to everything and not standing up for the people. Government have serious questions to answer as they're putting us all at risk. A caller says, the day centre in Remelton is not open since COVID either. And another caller says the day centre in St. Connell's is not open and it is badly needed. Wants to know why this is all since COVID. It's long over now. I don't know what is going on across then the services. Let's not forget last week we were talking about services for children, speech therapy and what have you. It starts off with letters received in one part of the county, and then you realise that parents right across the county are receiving the same. And now, of course, we start talking about daycare services in Corandonna, and it turns out that so many people right across the county are being similarly affected. Why are these services not open? What changed since COVID? 086 60 25,000. A caller says they've no bother finding places for Ukrainian people. This is what COVID was all about, to close these places and other places. Also, the whole thing's a complete setup. Look at the state of this country at the moment since we called COVID. It's plain to see COVID was a way to destroy this country and every other country. Also, just take a step back and weigh it all up. Okay, that's your view. In terms of supporting or accommodating Ukrainian people, it's very different because you take the top floor of a hotel. And in terms of support staff, I think providing proper, safe daycare services for older people would require, you know, a multidisciplinary team and so on and so forth. A couple of warnings from listeners. Greg, warn people about buying tickets online, which is not an official site. I know people who bought them for Electric Picnic, and when they got to the gate, they discovered they were fake and left out of pocket and out of the festival. Oh, my word, that would have been a heartbreak to make your way all the way down there and get yourself in as far as the gate. Were you caught out by fake Electric Picnic tickets? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Another, is this a new telephone scam? I got a phone call saying they were from the Three Loyalty team. They knew my name and address, but it sounded suspicious, so I hung up, and an online search for the number said it is a scam. But where? Three phone provider hacked. How else would they know my name and address? Well, unfortunately, most of our names and addresses are out there. They've been hacked from one company or another. You obviously are a Three customer, so maybe that's the random element of it. If they called me, I'd go, well, I'm not with Three, and that would be the end of it. So I'm not sure if it's a scam. The number is 061-203-061. Sounds like a kind of a catchy number, but they can clone any number now. So if you've any advice or experience of that for that listener, please let us know. A caller says more camera vans are not needed. More guards on the street are what's needed. Our population has increased significantly and we have less guards than ever, they say. Another, honestly, Greg, we need to start thinking about immigration again, because if you're Irish, you get nothing for your taxes and have no rights. And a lot of people seemingly starting to feel a little bit like that. Okay, next on the programme is Sinead. Sinead, thanks for holding. Good morning.
Thank
to
you. Good morning to you, Greg.
Right, now, difficult experience for you and your family. It all started around about 8 weeks ago. Can you tell us what happened?
About 8 weeks ago, my young daughter was experiencing headaches for a couple of days. She went into work on a Thursday, and she says the only way she could describe it was somebody punched her in the side of the head, which collapsed. She was taken to hospital to discover she had a stroke. She was kept in for a couple of days. They'd done MRIs and whatever other tests. We went back for the MRI results to discover not alone did she have a stroke, she had several mini strokes. A couple of days later, she was discharged again from the hospital. She was taken in again. And when I was with her, she I looked over and she didn't look very well, and she just seemed to pass out. I discovered she was having another episode. When she has this episode, she can't talk. She's lost the power of her face on her left-hand side. She's lost the power of her arm and her leg. She turns to the left. She can't see. She can't talk when she's in this episode. And you just have to sit with her till she comes round. If she doesn't come round after a certain period of time, you have to phone an ambulance. And the last time, the one she had with me was really bad. She was taken under resus. They done more tests. They discharged her again. And she's just left in limbo. She's home now, and she's got three small children and the two boys. One of them, only 13, has to learn to administrate the medication, which takes an episode. And if she doesn't come out of it, to phone an ambulance. And she's not getting any better. All day, she had an episode on Friday, and all day Saturday, she couldn't even sit up to drink a cup of tea. It's just horrific. She can't be left on her own. She can't have a shower if there's no one there. It's a horrendous, horrendous condition to be left with. And at the minute, she said to me yesterday, Mum, I'm not getting any better, and I can't see any way out. And it's just shocking.
Yeah, and this, of course, is going to weigh incredibly heavily on you as mum as well. Hemiplegic migraine, she has an official diagnosis of that. Have they given her any preventative medicine? Because there is some available, if my memory serves me correctly from speaking about this before.
Well, she is on stroke medication and she gets an injection once a month to deal with the pain. But unfortunately, she doesn't live in this country.
Oh, okay.
And when I was up at Letterkenny about 2 weeks ago, I happened to mention it to one of the staff. And they said that this past while they have seen three patients come in their 30s with the same problem and they don't know what's causing it.
And it is, she has strokes and then over a period of time she does somewhat recover from them.
The numbness in her face and the pins and needles down her arm and the blindness on the left eye doesn't go away. When it gets worse, it goes down her leg and... you're just helpless. There's nothing you can do. 50% of her arteries on the left-hand side of her body are blocked and 50% of the arteries on her brain are blocked. They don't know what's causing it. So I just wonder, is there anybody out there who has an answer to the long term of this? We're just seem to be picking at straws at the minute.
And I presume they've got her on blood thinners and things like that.
No, she's not on blood thinners.
Okay.
Put her on them, no.
And it's kind of, she's feeling a bit hopeless now, and I'm sure you're feeling that too. She's a young woman. She's only in her early 40s. You say she's got young children at home, she's being sent home really to say that, yeah, you're going to keep having these, but if the symptoms last a certain amount of time, get yourself into hospital or call an ambulance. And then, as you say, the last time... she had to be taken to the resuscitation room. So it's really, it must feel like a ticking time bomb for all of you until such time as you get better answers or some pathway to see her improving.
Yes, well, they phoned her yesterday. They asked her to come in. They think there's a possibility she has a hole in the heart. So they're going to do tests tomorrow to see if that's what's causing it. You're just picking at straws, you know. It's just horrendous to watch because... she thought she was getting better and then she had a seizure on Friday and she had one, a really bad one on Saturday. She just can't seem to function because there's things she wants to say to you but she's not able to tell you what she's thinking because of her condition, which is very distressful for the whole of us. It's very hard on her husband who hasn't left her. But I looked after her for a month. And unfortunately, now he has to go back to work and I will have to go back and stay with her till this problem is resolved one way or the other, if ever.
Yeah. And this is also, I mean, obviously your primary worry is for your daughter and for her children and all, but this is a big pressure on you too, Sinead, something that you're having to deal with now, you know, when you probably want to be relaxing a little bit more.
Well, you see, I normally would text her in the morning. If she doesn't reply, I know she's having a bad day. Right. And then I leave her for a while and then she texts me back and she says, sorry, Mum, not well. Don't want to talk today. So they're helpless.
Yep,
I mean, it's terrible. You have to learn a 13-year-old child to administrate medication to their mother who's having an episode and sit with her and hold her hand and not let her sleep. To help comes. It's awful. It's just undescribable, and it's very traumatizing for the children.
Yeah. So, if anyone out there has any knowledge or understanding of hemiplegic migraine, you've heard the story there of Sinead's daughter, and it is completely debilitating at this point. Requires 24-hour care or monitoring, and you've heard of the responsibility now on the 13-year-old and the other half has to go back to work. And that means our listener here, Sinead, has to go. She's in a different country, you say, Sinead. She's not living in Donegal, so you have to uproot yourself. Okay.
And I'll have to go back now, so I don't mind doing that.
I know. But it's still a very, very difficult situation. And I think you just want a pathway or some understanding. And listen, we'll also get in contact with a medical professional as well to talk to them about it. But it was just, Sinead, wanted to get you on today just in case there's anyone out there can offer you some pathway or some hope or light or whatever it might be. because it's very difficult. And pass on our good wishes and leave it with us, and we'll see what comes from it.
All right. Thank you, Craig, for highlighting.
It's a tough situation for you. It's clear for you and your family. I'm really sorry for what you're going through. Any assistance? 086 60 25000. Okay, just to get through some other correspondence that has been coming in to us. A caller says, hi, Greg. I wonder if you can help. I'm currently waiting on x-rays, currently on week 7, waiting for an appointment. Rang the unit and was told the waiting list was 10 to 12 weeks. This is not acceptable in this day and age. I heard the radiographer retired and no replacement since July. Hopefully you can help. Well, unfortunately, all we could do is make inquiries. And this is the response which we received. The HSE is unable to comment on individual circumstances surrounding particular cases in order to protect patient-client confidentiality, and we understand that. But from yesterday, Monday the 4th, the X-ray service in Carntona Community Hospital will be running 5 days a week. Previous to the service starting, patients would travel to Letterkenny University Hospital to avail of an X-ray. The service has been seen a large increase in GP referrals since the COVID-19 pandemic. All referrals are prioritised according to the clinical information supplied by the referring GP. Where a GP has stated a recent injury or trauma, these referrals are fast-tracked, as are all chest referrals. While urgent referrals continue to be seen within 2 to 7 days, the routine waiting list has increased. Increasing the service from 3 to 5 days a week will reduce the routine waiting times and still accommodate all urgent referrals. A senior radiographer position has also been advertised as of August 24th. The closing date is September 12th and interviews will take place shortly afterwards. So there you have it. That's the situation. Hopefully it may improve, but obviously there are people that are being seen as more urgent than you, and that's why you're being pushed back to the... you're not seemingly moving up the queue, it might feel. Greg, we need more GPs in the communities, more doctors and nurses in our hospitals and more guards on our street to deal with the increasing population. We do not need more TDs and spending more money on politicians, says a caller. My boyfriend and I got a site from his father and are going to build on it. This morning, we got a price to build a 3-bedroomed ensuite house, bathroom, kitchen and hall. That's just the building, never mind everything else. There is no way we could get a mortgage to pay this type of money. So how much do you think their quote was for a 3-bedroomed ensuite bathroom, kitchen and hall? €350,000. How a family is doing it, we have to rethink our plans, which were pretty basic in the beginning, they say. So they have the site. Hopefully they have the planning. But it's €350,000 to build what is a relatively modest house. And presumably that's not going to include everything. And I don't see those prices going in the downward direction either. A caller says most schools have canteens now. We got notified yesterday that the school will be operating the canteen payment system via a card, which can be topped up on a regular basis so children cannot pay with cash. Surely this is just encouraging a cashless society. Is it fair? How has this system being allowed to be introduced with no consultation with parents on it? As a parent, do I have any rights to insist that my child has a right to use the canteen with cash? It's an interesting question. And I'll tell you too, there are times where the money's not there to top up a card. You know what I mean? If people are struggling a little bit, and you can always, hopefully always get a few euro cash together for lunch. But there is a reality that sometimes, for whatever reasons, you can't transfer from a card or your bank account to one of these cards in the canteens. It was introduced during COVID in schools that I'd be familiar with, and it's back again now. What do you think out there? 086 60 25000. Another listener says, I'm a tenant in a house with a back boiler and an all oil fired boiler. Only use the back boiler because the oil is so expensive. Estate agent came out to do a check and the boiler wouldn't come on and is now being told that she's responsible for the boiler not working since she never turned it on. Is this the case? How can she have it broken? How can she have it broken if she's never used it? Right, it is a... I think it was last year or perhaps the year before, didn't use the oil burner at all, fired it up and it didn't fire up. Ended up having to change it. But changing it was the best thing I ever did because the new burner is so much more efficient than the old one that had been in there for a couple of decades. But anyway, be that as it may, who is responsible to fix this boiler? The listener, the tenant in the house, is being told that it's her fault because she didn't use it. But surely it's the person who owns the property is responsible for that, is it? 086 60 25,000. Let us know what you think. All right, more reaction now to the Electoral Commission's review of Donegal. They said they couldn't justify returning it to a 2-3-seater setup, and instead it's going to retain 5. And there's a line south of Pettigo, Lahey, Ballintra to the sea, effectively, that's still with Sligo and Leitrim. Mary T. Sweeney is going to be standing in the next general election for Aintu here in Donegal. What's your reaction to the decision we learned of last week, Mary T.?
Well, I think it's disgraceful that there's not more hurrah about it from all the politicians of Donegal. Dublin-centric has again further emphasised it's another disenfranchised marginalisation of the west coast of Ireland, never mind just Donegal. And to add injury, insult to injury, to include the seats and the representation for Dublin. It's just a Dublin autocracy. They're in control. It's a form of gerrymandering, really, I believe.
How does
this is why the rural voice has been... this is why the rural voice has been smothered. And I just posted Patrick Murphy, the CEO of the Fishermen in Cork, had a very moving video up of another two boats in Castletown Bear being cut up because of the fishing quota being handed away. Like, where are our politicians to stand up for Donegal and for the West Coast? It shouldn't be represent Dublin and rural Ireland. It should be represent rural Ireland and Dublin. And it's not happening.
So, Mary T, are you saying that if there were extra TDs to go around, then one should have come to Donegal for more representation of the issues facing Donegal? Is that the your main gripe with it, or...?
I have queries and concerns about the overall electoral composition, the way it's made up at the moment. But yes, if that were to be the case, but there is definitely a total review needed of the whole procedure and placement and representation that we have at this time. And we need to look at why that Dublin is in control of the rural economies. That we have people elected as a minister. Pascal Donoghue is elected as a minister, had control of finance and public expenditure. And he was voted with less votes than Patrick Cope Gallagher or John O'Donnell, who didn't even get elected in Donegal. It's really difficult to understand but without looking at the facts and figures on it. Mm. But the simplicity of it is, Pascal Donoghue is voted in on 4,738 votes. The constituencies in Dublin are much, much smaller for their polls, their voting poll, their electorate area. We have like 120,000 people in the Donegal constituency here. The electorate's 125,000 and the turnout for the valid polls was 77,000. And when you compare ministers actually making financial decisions elected on a trivia of 4,738 votes, where their quotas are much less, their electorate is much smaller.
Mm-hmm. And finally,
that's an unfair playing field.
Finally, Mary T.
That's like putting a senior hurling player in the pitch for the juniors, the under-15s, under-16s.
Yeah. It favours the bigger parties too, presumably.
Totally favours the bigger. That's why I'm saying this is a Dublin autocracy. It's well designed. Again, the usual, to control the governance, to control the view and to control the people. They have used their marketing skills and their... How much was spent? How many houses, how many Micah homes in Donegal could have been rebuilt by what has been spent to circumnavigate to get to the outcome that they wanted here?
Okay, Mary T.
This is the big parties doing this. Okay. And I'm very, very angry about it.
Yeah, and it's something we'll return to. Thank you very much indeed. That's Mary T. Sweeney, who is going to contest the next general election as an Aintu rep. Okay, it is the 9 till noon show. That's hour one of this Tuesday over, pretty much. We'll be back with Community Garda information after the news and obituary notices.